This morning, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. As a matter of fact, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, if you want to go there. But we're talking about, and we're wrapping up our stewardship month every November. For those visiting, every November, this is our 19th year doing it, we teach on stewardship, on tithing. And what does the Lord say about tithing? What does the Lord say about giving? And all that goes in that. And sometimes people get just a tad worked up when you talk about their money. I don't want you to get worked up. I just want you to listen, amen, and learn and hopefully understand what the Word of God says. I know some people are like, hey, tithing is not in the Bible. Tithing is in the Old Testament. It's under the law. We're not required. Pastor, quit asking for our money. Okay, so I'm going to teach, though, and if you paid attention throughout, what you see is tithing is throughout the Scriptures and giving is throughout the Scriptures. And some people say, well, especially if we talk about the first fruits, which is what we're going to talk about today, the first fruits. And people say, well, you know, tithing was of the grain and tithing was of the wheat and of the crops and of the field. And so, you know, tithing is not of money. And since we don't have wheat and grain and crops and field, we shouldn't have to tithe. And I'm like, okay. And it's like, Pastor, you can't make me the, okay. Pastor, okay. Wherever you're at with money, I'm okay with it. I know what the Word of God says. I teach that, and then it's just for us to take home and process through. Amen? Amen? Everybody awake today? All right, here we go. So when we put this up for this logo for this year, because every year we change it, it says, trust God, or do I trust my money? In God we trust, right? It's on the dollar bill, but do we really trust God? If we really trust God, then we're going to honor God. And that's the title of today's sermon, is Honor the Lord. And if you notice, Lord is all caps, because when you read Lord in the Scriptures and it's all caps, that means Yahweh, God in all his fullness, Elohim. Elohim would be a plural, God in the plural sense, meaning Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so honor the Lord, honor Yahweh, and or the Lord as Elohim, God, plural, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, does that make sense for everyone? All right, so anytime you see Lord, all caps, it's Yahweh, all right? Or God in the plural sense, Elohim being the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All right. So my passage today is Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. And so I know there's a passage before that. Don't go to that. Yeah, go to 3, 9, and 10. All right, here we go. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and I love that. Remember, insignificant words really are significant. Amen. And so here's what we see. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. That word and says, whoa, there's more. There's more than just possessions, but it's first fruits of what? All your increase. Next verse. So that your barns would be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And so basically God's saying, if you honor him with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, you're going to be blessed. That's what it says. You'll not have need, because the reality is we cannot outgive God. Amen. Now, I'm not going to tell you that when you give to God, God's going to return you money, because he may not return you money. As a matter of fact, he says your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine, meaning you're not going to have need. Okay, do you understand that? I'm not saying that if you give to God, you're going to get rich. That's not the promise. Nowhere do we find that promise, anywhere in the Scriptures. Prosperity preachers will give you that promise. I'll get a word from God. Send me $1,000 and you're going to get $10,000 back. Okay, that's a lie. Do not do it. Don't do it. Any pastor that gets on TV and says, God told me that you need to invest $1,000. No, you don't. You need to go to your local church, get involved in your local community church, serve in your church, support your church, support missionary. Listen, you need to go to your local community church and invest in that, because that's what's investing in your community. Amen. Quit allowing these. Okay, I got a verse for them. I had to go search for to get a verse to describe them. And that verse, as a matter of fact, if you'll put up Proverbs 30, verses 15 and 16. The leech has two daughters. Give and give. And you guys are going like, this isn't in the Bible. No, it is. It's Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15, right here. The leech has two daughters. Give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. Next verse. There you go. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. And so we have the leech has two daughters, give and give. When I saw that, I was like, isn't that the truth? How, we would say that's sarcasm when it's really scripture. So we know that has a sense of humor. But the grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. And so there's just a few things that never get enough. And yet, for some reason, guys, that's what we invest in. We invest in the nothing, the things that don't matter, right? We go back one verse, please. The leech, right? The leech somehow seems to get our attention. And we're always giving money to things that just don't matter. Well, Proverbs chapter 3, go back to Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. What I thought I would do today, because most people, first off, they'll say, well, this is Old Testament. But hold on, this isn't the law. This is Old Testament wisdom. Proverbs is the book of wisdom, amen? And so we can't, and by the way, I love how people will go, anytime that it involves money, they're like, oh, that's Old Testament, it doesn't apply to us. But if it doesn't involve money and it's to our benefit, we like to read it and apply it to our lives. Amen. And so we always have this thing where we're like, oh, it's got to do with money. It's Old Testament. It has nothing to do with us. But anything else is good. Oh, yeah, I like that. We'll take that, or we'll adjust our lives by it, or we'll justify our sin by it, or whatever you want to do. And so all I'm telling you is this is not under the law. This is a book of wisdom that says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all your increase, so that, next verse, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You honor the Lord and God will honor us. That's what it's saying. Okay? Go back. All right. So what I decided to do today, because, if I just preach it, then people are like, oh, there's pastor preaching on money. So I thought I would teach it so you would leave and go, oh, pastor's teaching on money. That way, you see the difference? That's for me. Never mind. You guys hit them. You guys were still on turkey poison. All right. Doesn't it? Turkey makes you sleep, right? It's got this thing in it, they say. Is it true? I can eat steak and sleep too. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I'm curious. I'm just really curious before I jump into this. Your favorite Thanksgiving food? Anyone? Turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing. Where's the pumpkin pie? That's what I'm saying, right? Girl, I got you. Pumpkin pie, right? How many like pumpkin pie with Cool Whip on top? Right? How many like is it pecan or pecan? All right, hold on a minute. We're just going to help with this. It has nothing to do with the sermon. At any rate, how many say pecan? The way I said it, you're like, I don't say it like that. I say pecan. I got two extra hands. All right. See, it's all in the, it's all in the, for you. How many say, this has nothing, I don't even know why I'm doing this. How many say pecan? Wow. Yeah. So I think it was a, who said y'all wrong? Y'all, I got two, but listen, they complain it's cold too. And we're all dying right now. So you can't even listen to them. So pecan wins. Is there ever a time, I'm wasting that, is there ever a time that you would say pecan? All right. So I went, when we went down south, we went and visited Sherry's parents, and they made, one of the family members made a pecan pie. And some of you are OCD. You're like, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Any rate, so she made a pecan pie. I would just tell you this. It was the best one I've ever had in my life. Ever had in my life. And so if you guys ever, if you know how to make a pecan pie, make one, bring me a piece, and I'll let you know if you can. All right. Had nothing to do with the sermon. Okay, so let's get back in this. I just thought I would help you out. So looking at this verse, honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all your increase. Honor. So verb to honor, I put up the definition of honor, if you'll pull that up. Maintaining or augmenting. Augmenting means to increase or enlarge, okay? Maintaining or augmenting one's honor, the positive evaluation of one's value by others, in other words, what people see you doing, honoring, and avoiding disgrace. So if we're going to honor the Lord, let's just take out of what's in this and say maintaining or augmenting, increasing one's honor and avoiding disgrace. Let's simplify it. Some of you do not honor the Lord with your possessions. As a matter of fact, your possessions are not even honorable. Some of you buy things that are a disgrace to the Lord. Now, to the world, they might be fine, but they're a disgrace to the Lord. And so when we look at this, we understand by definition to honor the Lord and with your possessions means that everything you buy should have a glorifying value to it, to the Lord. Does that make sense? So when we buy it, in other words, when we dress, or the clothing we wear, does your clothing honor God? Does your outfits honor the Lord? Or ladies, are you wearing things you should not be wearing because they're revealing more than that they should be revealing? Are you covered? Is it modest apparel? Or is it glitz, glamour, and display? Right? I mean, I try to be creative. Are your possessions honoring the Lord? Men, are you honoring the Lord in your clothing purchase? Because you're like, hey, the jeans cover me. Yeah, but are they down? Never mind. Do you buy shirts that are too small for you because you're really not built that well? I'm just saying, right? Men look in the mirror and they're like, I'm buff, right? And so then you dress like that and it's like, whoa, dude, go back, right? Do we buy things that honor the Lord? Does our TV honor the Lord? The programs we purchase, do they honor the Lord? Does your electronics honor the Lord? Your laptop, your phone, do they honor the Lord? See, it's not just what people see, but it's what you purchase that people don't see, but you see on it. And so does your possessions honor the Lord? Does your money honor the Lord? Do you spend it wisely? Or do you frivolously spend it and now you are in need because you don't have the money it takes to take care of your family? Do you honor the Lord? Do you honor Him with your possessions? Now, the Lord, I told you what the Lord means is Yahweh, right? And now, I don't know why that's not all capped up there, because it should be. But let's look at your possessions. Give me that right here, right? Your possessions. Hon would be the Hebrew word, because remember, the Old Testament is Hebrew, the New Testament is Greek. And so we're in the Old Testament, Proverbs, hon would be the word for possessions. It's a noun, masculine, and it literally means property, wealth, sufficiency. Now, just for clarity, the Hebrew word at the end of property was supposed to be in front of Han, but for whatever reason, it kept getting all whatever, and I was like, forget it, it's got to go. And so I sent it, and just so you know, that's actually the Hebrew word for Han at the end of property, not the Hebrew word for property. But my point is, property, wealth, that's your money. And then sufficiency, that's what you have. That's your possessions. So in verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions, it's talking about your money. Do you honor God with your property, your clothing, your electronics, your vehicles, your house, your whatever, right? Because you have a house, but what's going on in your house is not godly. Because you're like, how do I honor God with my house? Do you use your property in such a way that if God shows up, or when God shows up, and if you're saved, the Holy Spirit is there, that He is not grieved by what He walks into, what He sees, or what He has to put up with? That's your possessions. Do you honor God with your house? So if anybody comes over, you're not scurrying around trying to hide stuff. See, if you are, you're not honoring God with your possessions. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your money. And you're like, well, it's my money. I can do with it what I want. Absolutely. It's your money. You can do with it what you want. But are you honoring Him with your purchases? Can I walk around with you anywhere, everywhere, and you purchase everything you would normally purchase and not be ashamed? Or if the Lord were to follow you around, would you still make every purchase that you make now, would you still make it knowing He was standing right next to you? Would you do the things in your house that you do now if the Lord was sitting in the living room? Would you still watch the same shows that you normally watch? If He was standing over your shoulder while you're tapping away at your computer and you're searching, would He be honored with what you're doing with your laptop or your phone or your gaming console? Whatever it is that you have, if the Lord were to follow you around every day, would He be honored with your possessions? Or would you be embarrassed and ashamed? See, this is how you answer the question, do I honor the Lord with my possessions? And what are my possessions? It's everything. It's everything. It is my property. It is my money. It is everything I have. That's what sufficiency is. It's everything. It's everything that I have. See, we say we love the Lord, but we don't always honor the Lord. And then, if I challenge someone with their lifestyle, they're like, Pastor, you can't judge me. I wear a size 11 boot that I would just love to place somewhere when people say that. It's like, I'm not judging you. We are called to hold one another accountable. And that accountability is what I try to do up here as well, is like, listen, guys, I'm not judging you. I'm asking you a simple question, because the scriptures say, and this is the wisdom book, this isn't Old Testament law, it's wisdom. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Everything you have. Do we do that? And then some of you will go, yeah. And some of you go, no. But here's what we seem to forget, is that we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us, who we take everywhere we go, who sees everything we see, who hears everything we listen to, who watches everything we watch. And yet, we seem to forget that God's like, I am with you. The Holy Spirit seals us unto the day of redemption, which means if you're truly born again, God lives within you via the Holy Spirit. And so are you really honoring God with everything you have? Now, we say honor the Lord with your possessions. That makes it pretty clear, right? And then we start moving on. And now this is going to get really personal. And you can say, Pastor, I don't think you studied this outright. Okay, then you study it out and come back and show me in Scripture where I'm wrong. Is that fair? And if I'm wrong, next Sunday I'll stand up here publicly and ask for forgiveness. I have no problems with that. If you can show me in Scripture where I am wrong in what I'm teaching, I will stand up here and ask for forgiveness. As a matter of fact, I taught wrong one time. I took someone's outline and I said publicly, praise Jesus, publicly I said before I even started that I took this person's outline. As a matter of fact, it was Billy Graham's outline. And it was sent, and I gave you guys the book for Christmas and everything else. And me, I didn't research it well enough. And I thought it was on because it was Billy Graham, and I get it. And then I teach the outline, and even knowing better, but you know how you just read, you kind of get caught up in the moment. And then Diane, whom I love very much, I'm not calling her out to embarrass her, even though she's like, Pastor, don't. No, I was like, I praised her and gave her thanks for this. But afterwards, she goes, Pastor, that's not what you taught on Wednesday night when we were going through the book of Revelation. I go, what? And she showed me the verse. I'm like, oh. The next Sunday, I got up here and corrected it and thanked her for pointing it out so that you see, you know the truth. If I misspeak, point it out. Because I will absolutely make it right as best I can. So we walk away with truth. Amen? I didn't want her to walk around confused going, Pastor said this on Wednesday, he said this on Sunday. So she asked me, and it's like, oh my goodness, thank you. Thank you. And we bring clarity. That's what we do. So I'm just telling you, as I move forward from here, if you don't agree with me, look it up in Scripture and then bring it to me. And if I'm wrong, I will stand up here and publicly say, I messed up. Let's move on to the next part. This is okay. Everybody can go honor the Lord with your possessions. Okay, yeah, all mine looks good, right? But when we throw in the and, then we're like, oh, wait a minute. This word and now attaches it to my money. Very specific now. This is where most people have a hard time. And guys, you need to hear me. If you struggle giving a tithe is a tenth. If you haven't given 10%, and listen, I'm not asking for it. I'm explaining Scripture. It's between you and God what you and him do. Just for clarity. But if you don't give a tithe, if you don't give a tenth, the full 10% of your income, then you're not giving a tithe. You're just not. A tithe is a tenth. Not anything less. Anything less is giving. It's an offering. We talked about that last week, and I showed you in Scriptures. in the scriptures where God and what God says about that. Pull up, it's not in here, but pull up Malachi 8 and 9 should cover it, I think. Just for clarity, just for clarity, guys, because I want you to see this, because if you don't see it, then you walk away thinking pastor's just on the hunt for your dollars, and I'm not. I really just want to teach you what the Word of God says, and then you got to deal with it between you and the Lord. Okay? Will a man rob God? This is the Lord speaking in Malachi. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. You have robbed me. Exclamation point. Emphatic. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And the Lord says, in tithes and offerings. Now, just hold it right there. He says, in tithes and offerings. Don't go back. But if you were to go back into verse 6, he says, I am the Lord, I do not change. And then he comes up and says, you've robbed me. How we robbed you? Tithes and offerings. Remember that word and? That's a lovely word. The tithe is a 10%, and the offerings is anything that you offer that you say, Lord, I want to do this. I want to give this. I want to support this. I want to take it. That's an offering. So if you give a tithe, if you say, okay, here's my tithe, that's 10%, and then you literally dictate where it goes. So on the offering envelope, you say, here's my tithe. And then underneath that, you say, $20 to the children's, $20 to electronics, $20 to building fund, $20 for pastor to have lunch, $20 for, like, whatever it is, right? when you designate it, it's no longer a tithe. It's an offering. The tithe goes to the Lord. The offering is designated. Does that make sense? Yes? Pastor, quit talking now. It's time to go. I got something to do. Talk about my money. I'm just saying, it's just for clarity here. I just want to set the standard so we understand. Tithes and offerings are God's. Okay? And the offerings are God's when you say, Lord, I will give. Lord, I will do. Lord, I will help. That's an offering, and it now becomes the Lord's. And if you don't give it, you're robbing God of what's His. We saw that last week in Corinthians, where Paul said, look, I'm sending a couple of Guidos to do the collection because you guys, I don't want to be embarrassed, and I don't want you embarrassed. And you offered this, and I'm coming to collect it to make sure it's there, right? Right? I mean, and we saw that last week. So this is what we see in tithes and offerings. If you're not at 10%, it's an offering. It's not a tithe. Please don't be deceived. All right? Okay, so now let's go back to verse 9. Not here. Yeah, there you go. Honor the Lord with your possessions. We talked about what possessions are. And also included with, goes along with, as well as, like, oh, that's that and, right? With your first fruits. Ah, first fruits. Well, first fruits are, we say it is of the, of our crops, or back then we would say it's of the crops. But before we go to first fruits, actually I missed one. All. Pull up the there you go. This is all. As kol, K-O-L, would be the Hebrew word. And it is from the root number 3634. Don't worry about that. And it literally means the whole. The whole, meaning the whole, everything, like all-encompassing. Like if I said, this is the whole Bible, right? It's lacking nothing, missing nothing. It's the whole or all. Then I love how it says, okay, it comes from a root of 4045, which means all for every, all his and everything, all its the entire, all the and every. I was like, I'm not leaving. I didn't do this. Literally, I did a copy paste here of the meaning. And I'm going, wow, these people, you talk about being thorough. Holy smokes. All and the every, all the of every, all the everywhere, all the throughout, all your concerning everything. There's no mistake in this is the whole and everything minus nothing. Amen. Would you agree with that? You people, when I'm talking about pecan, pecan, you're all in. I'm talking about your money. Now you're like, so, I knew I was going to have fun with this one today. So this is all in verse 9. And with the first fruits of all. I just wanted you to understand what all is. But go back to first fruits. No, go back to the definition of first fruits. There you go. Reshith, beginning or chief. Okay? Beginning, choice, choicest, finest, first fruits, foremost. So that's from the Hebrew word of first fruits, and it literally means the choice or the choicest, the finest, the first of. So if I have $10 and my bills come to $10.50. Somebody's getting shortchanged, amen? Who's it gonna be? First fruits says that the very first dollar of that $10 that I spend goes to the Lord. That's the first fruits. That's the chief, the beginning, the choicest, the finest. Because if we gave the last dollar, we say, well, a dollar's a dollar. No. If you give the last dollar, what you're doing is giving the sickly, if you will, right? Because what's your heart's intent? Are you going to honor the Lord first? Because you realize that $10 you wouldn't have had the Lord not given it to you. And so therefore, I'm going to honor the Lord with the first fruits. I'm going to give him the first dollar. And you know what? Spectrum is going to have to wait on 50 cents. Or let me call Spectrum, get my bill lowered so I don't owe anybody anything and I can still do what's right. You see what I'm saying? So when we see here first fruits, this is literally what first fruits means. And we are to do what? We are to give all of our increase. So now let's look at what increase means. And by the way, I'm telling you, this is just the Greek words. I click on them, it comes up with the definition. It's the program I have. And for whatever reason, it's tabula, which apparently didn't like the L, so it went woke on me and X'd it out. I don't know. So anyway, it literally means to, is produce or yield, okay? The products that are gathered during the harvest time. So we are to give of the produce or the yield. That, you know, we plant one corn and we get several cobs off of the stock, right? So that's our yield, the return that we get. And so we are to, that's an increase, right? Next slide. So this concept indicates the actual product gathered during the harvest. Since an agriculture society's wealth is grounded in its productivity, it can also signify revenue or income. So it's not just your crop, it's your revenue or your income that this word increase actually means. And it still doesn't like the L in the lower part. So when we look at this and we see that it is of our increase, I want you to pull up Isaiah 23:3, if you will. Did I give you that one or I missed it? Yeah, pull it up for me, if you would. So in Isaiah 23:3, because people say, no, that has nothing to do but with the crops. You just give the crops. That's all you do. But look what Isaiah 23:3 says. And on great waters, the grain of Shehor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a marketplace for the nations. And so we see again, there is revenue, and there is a marketplace for the nations. And so we don't always have, go back to increase, please. We don't always have the harvest. How many here, just out of curious, you have a garden? Wow, amen, that is awesome. I like tomatoes. I like cucumber. No, I'm just kidding. How many here you brought in a tenth of all your increase of your garden? How many here, though, if you made money off of it, you brought in your tenth or your increase? You see what I'm saying? We don't bring in, we don't have a where we can store tomatoes and cucumbers and all. We just don't do that. That's not our culture anymore. That was Israel's culture, so it would have withstood that. But even at that point where they would take their and make money off of their fields and their crops, they would have revenue from the marketplace, and they were to give off of it. It was their increase. And so, guys, if you're sitting here, you can't say, well, for them, it was Old Testament and it was for their crops, because now we see it is increase is money. It's revenue. The tithe is a tenth. An offering is what you say, Lord, I'll give, I'll help, I'll do. Then now that becomes the Lord's, and we're obligated to honor him with that. And it's with all the increase, because people are like, well, I'm going to give $50 a week. God bless you. I don't care what you give. I'll give $50 a week. But you're not tithing, you're offering. Just for clarity, because another reason I'm clarifying all this is because I've been asked 100 questions on tithing, and I just want to be clear about it. That's all I'm trying to do. What you do with your money is between you and God. I'm just telling you what the scriptures tell us we need to do, what we're supposed to do. Amen? Because here's the thing, if you look at what you gave and then ask, well, if I take that away, will it kill the church? Nobody here gives that much. I promise. Nobody does. This is God's house. And as long as we stay faithful to the Word of God, teaching and preaching the Word of God, and raising up disciples, and growing believers up in maturity with what the Word says, God's gonna protect this place. And that's why I can stand up here with liberty and freedom, and it doesn't matter who is sitting in this auditorium today. I can teach the Word of God with all truth in context of exactly what it means. Please put up Proverbs 3:9 for me, if you will. I can stand up here and I can teach it in its entirety, no matter what it says, no matter what topic, whether it's talking about transgenders or homosexuals or money or politics or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. If it is in the scriptures, I freely talk about it. Because this place does not operate and run by you. It operates and runs by God. And God says he adds unto the church daily such as should be saved. And God says it's his house, and he takes care of his house if we're faithful. And that's why I stand up here and I can teach the Word of God in context, even when it deals with the hardest things that might cut you to the core. Some of you, if I talk about homosexuality, it cuts you to the core, because either you are practicing it, semi-practicing it, or you have a family member that's practicing it, and you love them, and so you side with them over God. And it makes you angry when I talk about it. But I love God more than I love you. I love God more than I love my wife, and more than I love my children. I love Jesus way more. My wife knows that she's second. My children know they're third, equally, respectively. But I also know that I'm second to my wife, and my children are third, equally, respectively. That's what gives us freedom to stand and be bold and honest and truthful. What you do with that, what you choose to do with the information that I'm giving you, is between you and God. I don't even know who gives and who doesn't give. Unless you're a leader in the church, I have no clue. And even then, I don't even know. I just make sure that they're consistent, because that's part of it. If you want to be a member of the church, that's part of it, is the tithe. You have to tithe. That's part of it. If you don't want to tithe, don't be a member. Just show up. Just understand, you have no voice. You have no vote. Why in the world would I give anybody a vote on how we spend money when you've got zero invested? Why in the world would I do that? I wouldn't. If you got zero invested, you got zero voice in how we spend the investment. Amen? It was just, I mean, to me, that's just common sense. And so all I'm trying to do is tell you, what does the Word of God say? That's all I do every month in November, is I just teach you accurately what the Word of God says. And if you find that I have not been accurate in this, please research it. Bring me scripture. I don't care about your opinion. Please keep your opinion to yourself, unless it's joking. Otherwise, it carries zero weight with me in when we look at the Word of God. And so if you come to me and you go, Pastor, I don't agree with you. Okay, great. Show me. Show me where I'm wrong scripturally. Listen, if I say Chevy is better than Ford, that is, well, it's not even an opinion. That's just fact. And so at any rate, if you look at that, I love you, Jason. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like things like that are opinion. Do we say pecan or pecan? That's opinion. Not for those in this room, but anyway, for anybody else, it would be opinion. But if you think I'm wrong or scripturally inaccurate, you bring me the proper scriptures and we'll sit down together and look at it. But I'm just telling you guys, you know, I used to go under pressure teaching finances and tithing and offering and all that in November. I used to go under serious pressure, because I'm like, Lord, oh, people are going to get so mad at me. Some are going to quit coming. The hate emails that I would get, the hate text messages that I would get, the threats that I would get. I'm like, daggum, dude, I told you to keep your money. I didn't even ask for it. I was just teaching the scriptures. But the stuff that I would get, and I go under so much pressure. But I'm just going to be honest, like I always am. Like, don't sit there and go, oh, you're going to start now? No, it's a figure of speech. Anyway, it's that gap filler. It doesn't matter to me what you think when it comes to the Word of God. Whether I'm talking about money, politics, homosexuality, divorce, marriage, remarriage, children. You don't have to like it. You just need to understand what God says. And then you and God have to work that out. Does that make sense? I'm not under pressure anymore. I'm really not. Man, for those of you visiting, God bless you and thank you for being here. But this is what we do every November. Because, go to 9, Proverbs 3:10. I'm sorry, 3:10. This is a promise. This is a promise of the Lord. All I did was break down so you understood exactly what this passage is saying. You are to honor God, meaning that everything you have should give God glory. When people see it, it should not be embarrassing to the Lord that a Christian owns it. That's what it means. And a Christian is one that believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and there's no other way to heaven. We are to honor the Lord with our possessions. And with all of our increase, not just our increase, with the first fruits of our increase, meaning if I get $10, God gets the first dollar. And then if my nine doesn't cover my bills, then I'm living out of line. I got to adjust my spending. I got to adjust my needs and my wants, and I got to adjust some things going on. And I may have to sell some stuff to get my bills under control. I may have to cancel some stuff to get my bills under control. And you might say, well, I can't live without that. Well, you might need to learn how to live without it. But you have to make the adjustments. If you're cheating God out of the first fruits, you need to make some adjustments. And I can tell you, my wife and I, you guys know this, I've told you, in 1996, 94, I got saved. 94, my wife and I, we were split at the time. We came back together. We renewed our vows. 94 was a big year for me, because 94, I decided that we needed to go debt-free. We needed to go debt-free so we can serve the Lord, so there'd be no hindrances, nothing holding us back, so we could tithe and we'd do everything that God wants us to do. And so in 94, we started the process. By 1996, we were debt-free. And so when the Lord, we were in church one day, and the Lord just laid it on my heart to go give someone a check. So I told her, I go, give me a check for X amount of dollars. She goes, we don't have it. And I go, is it in the bank? She goes, yeah, it's in the bank, but we don't have it to spare. I go, write the check. All right, to who? And then I said the name. And she's like, they're not even responsible for their money. I go, write the check. I took it over, handed it to the person, said, God bless you. Then one time, a missionary came in and they were trying to buy a van, and so we were buying seats for the van, right? And they had, I don't know, they had 18, 25, 36 kids. I don't know. They had a lot of kids. At any rate, so they're buying a bus, and they're like, hey, who's willing to pay for a seat? And so I'm like, I'll $1,000 for a seat. And Sherry's next to me, and she says, we don't have it. And I go, is it in the bank? Yes, but we don't have it. Write the check. And then, of course, they asked, which seat? I said, the cheapest. But we were living debt-free at this point, so we had the freedom to serve the Lord. And you might have to make some adjustments, guys. You might go, well, the food costs so much and this costs so much. Okay, so then I'll throw one out there. This is really going to make you mad. But then I'll bring up pecan, pecan, and you'll laugh and it'll be good again. So anyway, I don't have the money. Cancel every phone of your children that's under 16 years old. You just saved $150. And your children. And their eyes. And their brain. And all that stuff. Because you know what? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kid, 5-year-old kid doesn't need a phone. Does not. Well, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. I don't care. They don't need a phone. Save your money. Save your money. Well, how am I going to know when to pick them up from school? Every other kid's got a phone. My girls were like, Dad, we need a phone so we know, you know, when to come get us from sports. And I'm like, do your friends have phones? All of our friends have phones. Good, borrow theirs. Amen. See, the problem isn't, the biggest problem we have today, guys, and the biggest reason that go back one, that we can't honor the Lord, that we can't, and with the first fruits, give to the Lord. We honor him by giving him, honor him with our possessions and giving him the first dollar out of every 10. The reason we can't do that is we have our desires are out of whack. And we love us more than we love him. And we love our things more than we love him. And we don't know how to do without. Because when we want it, we want it, we want it now. And if it fits in our budget, then we can get it. And so some of you, because you fail to control yourselves, you're in debt over things that died 10 years ago and you're still paying on it today. It's just truth. You bought gifts and you bought gifts for a child that should have just gotten a poke in the eye. Instead, you went in debt giving this selfish, ungrateful little child gifts that they didn't earn or deserve or need, just so you can show them you love them. And all they do is disrespect you, and they're disobedient on every level, but yet you keep trying to buy their love because you think they're a good kid, when really they just need a swift butt tore up and quit buying their love and be their parent. Let them earn something. You'd save a ton of money. I'm just saying, buy food that is good for you, not all the junk food so your kid can snack. Don't need it. All these different ways you can save money and back up. And I'm going to challenge you with this, and I'll be done. Because I'm just saying, this is why we can't honor the Lord with the tithes and the offerings. Or why, well, we'll put $20 in, but I can't tithe. And all you're doing is cheating yourself. That's all you're doing. I'm just telling you right up front, you are just cheating yourself, because God promises in Malachi chapter 3, and God promises here, that if you honor the Lord with your tithes, with your offerings, and with your possessions, He will bless you, and you will not have need. That's a promise. But if you don't trust Him, you won't do it. And if you don't do it, it's because you don't trust Him. You guys are like, no, it's not true. No, it really is, guys. Like, if we're just going to get down to the nitty gritty, you don't give to the Lord because you think your dollar is going to carry you far further than what Jesus can. And that's why you keep it rather than tithe, truly tithe, or why you just give or tip, because I'll give him what I can spare, but I'm sure enough, I'm not giving him that. Are you crazy? No, I'll give him what I can spare. Because that's all God is for you. That's all Jesus is. That's all the more your relationship is Jesus is there when you need Him. God the Father is there when you're desperate. And then after that, or any time before that, oh, He's God. I love Jesus. But when there's a requirement on you to be righteous or holy, that's when you find out if you really love Jesus. When you got all of a sudden be uncomfortable to do something He asked you to do or tells you to do, whether it's give Him a dollar or witness to somebody and share the gospel, that's when you find out how much you really love Him. Are you obedient or disobedient? That's just the bottom line. I'm not even judging you. I'm just putting facts out there. That's the truth of it. Some of you say you love Jesus, but man, Jesus doesn't have your possessions. He doesn't have you. And you leave here. Listen, you leave here. When you come in this door, when you walk in this door, man, you're the greatest Christian that ever moved, breathed, looked, whatever, anything. You're like, woo, I'm so righteous and humble. And then you walk out the door and you're as ungodly as Satan. But nobody sees you, or no Christian sees you, no brethren in the church sees you, and so therefore, you're around people who have the attitude, if you sin like I sin, we're going to get along just fine. And so as long as you hang around those type of people, life is grand, and you can be the hypocrite, and you can be one way out in the world because the church doesn't know it, the pastor doesn't know it, nobody else sees you, and then you come into the church, and you're another person altogether. You're a hypocrite, and you're probably not even saved. But you think you're a good person. You're not a good person. You're a hypocrite. You're not good. Good means godly. Remember Jesus said, when they called Him good teacher, He said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. That means the only way we can be good is if we're godly. If we're not godly, we're not good. We're deceived. And we want someone to feel, you're such a good person. Don't let them hurt your feelings because you did wrong. Isn't that what we do? Oh, don't believe them. You're a good person. No, you're not. None of us are. Unless we're godly. There's none good but God, or there's none good but godly. You see the difference, guys? Why would we lie to ourselves? Because we got to feel better. Why would we steal from God? Because we've got to satisfy our lusts, our desires, our wants. Why should we sacrifice? I deserve it. There's no need to sacrifice. God knows my heart. Oh, you better be careful of that one. Because you know it too. You're saying it publicly like we're going to think you're better than what we see you are? No, it doesn't work that way. You see what I'm saying? And so honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all the entirety of your increase. And if you do that, God promises you won't have a need. But I'm just going to tell you, if you live righteous, that's where I'd start. I wouldn't start with my money. You can start with your money. We'll take it. Amen. God bless. Thank you. I start living righteous. I start making better decisions. I start adjusting my possessions to bring God glory. Like I'd start at the foundation. That's where I'd start. And when you start there and you get your life right with Jesus, you realize your money is not your money. He owns everything. And man, he is more than sufficient to supply our every need. Start with your righteousness. Then your money won't be a problem. See, most of us, we love Jesus on our terms and we're godly on our terms and we go to church on our terms and we serve on our terms and we give on our terms because it's all about us. Start with being righteous. That's a beautiful place to start. Because I'm going to tell you right up front, there's not one person in this room, and I say not one person, that's all, the entirety, all of us, that don't fight, struggle with things of the world, and we have to check ourselves and make adjustments. It's a job to be righteous. It's a job to be holy. And it is discipline to deny ourselves and to give unto the Lord. We all have to do it. We all have to do it. But I'm going to tell you, it's worth the battle. It's worth the battle. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, Father. And Lord, right now, I just pray for those that may not know Jesus as their Savior. Father, that's they need to start there, Father. Help them. Lord, help them to see their need for Jesus, their need for a Savior, and that it doesn't matter about their money and how much they have, what they don't have, how good they are, how bad they are, Father, none of that matters. Because without Jesus, they're not going to heaven. Help them to see that, Father. And then, Lord, for those who say they love you and they love Jesus, but yet, Father, they keep the tithe and the offering that is yours, Father, just help them to see that you are so faithful and that your word is a promise. And it's the only place that you test us or you tell us to test you is when it comes to money. We're not to test you, but when it comes to money, you tell us to try you, to test you and see if you won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing on us so much that we can't receive it all. But Father, it's really hard to do that if there's no relationship. And so again, Father, I pray that you would just break the hearts of each and every one of us in this room, Father, and that we recognize that we have to honor you. That is with our possessions, our lifestyle, and our money. And we have to give you what's yours. And you're very clear what a tithe is. You're very clear what a giving is. Father, you're also very clear on how to get to heaven. And without Jesus, we have no hope. And so, Father, I just ask that your hand be upon us. And Father, that you just move in great and mighty ways here. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just ask that you would just look inside your heart. Truly, truly look at you. And understand that as long as you deny Jesus, as long as you don't believe the Bible, as long as you don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, as long as you believe that you can fix this on your own or you can get to heaven on your own or you think you're good enough, whatever it is, you need to know that none of that gets you to heaven. So if you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You've heard the word of God today. And then with all of your heart, you believe. Not your head, but with all of your heart, you believe unto Jesus Christ. He is Lord and Savior. He died on the cross for your sins. He conquered death and hell. He rose from the grave. He's at the right hand of the Father. And with all of your heart, you believe that. You may not understand it all, but you cannot deny it. You believe the word of God is all truth. You cannot deny that. And if that's where you are with your heart, then the Bible says your belief is what saves you. And so what I do is I just ask that if you believe that in your heart, then that you pray this prayer with me. Quietly, to yourself, you pray this prayer. But listen, the words don't save you. It's not magical. If you don't believe it in your heart, then it is of no good. The words are only you giving yourself a timestamp where you can say, this day, with all of my heart, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. The prayer is just a timestamp. That's all it is. It is not salvation. It doesn't get you saved. Believing with all your heart is what got you saved. The prayer says, this day I made a conscious decision. That's all it is. And so if that's your desire, because with all of your heart you believed unto Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then quietly pray this prayer to yourself. Jesus, today I surrender. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe there is no other way to heaven except through you because of your shed blood. And today, with all of my heart, I surrender my life to you. I will make sure my possessions glorify you. I will make sure the way I spend my money glorifies you. I will make sure my decisions bring you glory rather than self-gratification. Today, I surrender my life. Today, I am yours.